Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is a real treat to get back on and start talking football again.
Gino and I were talking, Marcel. And by the way, welcome to the Sports Bar After Hours here on ESPNRochester.com. The last time I think we spoke was the day that the sports world really began to change dramatically. It was the day that they announced they were canceling March Madness, Marcel.
Oh, yeah. Didn't that break while we were on the phone?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. My God, that was what, then 3 months ago at this point?
Yeah.
Wow. Gosh, how time, it's amazing how like time has, it feels like it was so long ago, but that it's also gone by so fast. And I don't know how to describe that feeling, but I just, something about the past few weeks, it just feels like there's kind of a light at the end of the tunnel now. Like we can see, maybe not the very end, but we can see kind of a reprieve from what we've been dealing with for the past few months. So hopefully this helps everybody who's listening along as well.
Marcel, I'm sure there isn't a day that goes by where you're not asked this question. What kind of season do you think we'll see in the NFL this year? Will it be a complete 16-game season? Will we actually have fans in the stands, even if it's partial capacity? And I'm sure you don't have the answer to that, but what's your sense here of where things are headed?
You know, it's still, and I feel like we've been saying it for months, but it still feels like it's so early and so much can change before an actual decision needs to be made. But if I had to guess, I'd guess partial fans, but in all reality, like it wouldn't even be fair for me to speculate, because you just don't know what these next few months are going to look like. I will say that the NFL is going to be paying close attention to what the NBA does, to what the MLS is doing, to what the MLB may or may not do, and try to factor that into whatever decision that they have to make. I think the league really lucked out. Luck at a time like this, it's kind of difficult to say, but it's a silver lining, I guess, that their season was so far away, the beginning of their season is so far away from the initial outbreak that, they didn't really have to scramble too much. You know, the offseason obviously was a little patchworked, but they didn't have to scramble too much, and they've had plenty of time to come up with a plan, a backup plan, and a backup plan. So there's no excuse, I think, for the league not to be prepared for whatever the climate of the country, the world's health is by the time September comes around.
And Marcel, we've seen the NFL teams not just preparing for what the fall could hold, but teams, gearing up in actually taking care of each other in practice and getting together. And things are different where you're not getting the press conferences, you're not doing the standard OTAs, but you are getting the Zoom calls, you are getting access to the players. And we know that Josh Allen was on a call earlier this week. I'm curious as to what he had to say, not just about football, but about the state of the world. I mean, there's a lot going on in NFL locker rooms around the league. How is Josh handling what's going on in the world and how it relates to his teammates?
It sounds like he's doing what, so many non-people of color are trying to do during this social climate, and that's just listen. And he's just having conversations. He's listening to his teammates. He's trying to empathize with what they've had to deal with. And I think he fully recognized that he himself has been, you know, relatively privileged in that he's never been pulled over by a police officer and felt fear for his life or felt that anxiety that so many of his teammates have felt. And, you know, he spoke out against racism in the world. He spoke out against police brutality. And, you know, while it wasn't as, maybe it wasn't as explicit as some of his peers in the NFL, I think that it's something, and it's better than silence, because, you know, so often silence is deemed as compliance. And I know that's not fair, but that's just kind of the perception of how it goes. And so for him to say something, I think it meant a lot to Bills fans. And I'm sure him just, you know, being an ally for his teammates, you know, that really helps cement him as Buffalo's leader. And, you know, as far as football goes, you know, he doesn't think it's going to take too long to build chemistry with Stephon Diggs. Obviously, the team had that workout in Florida a couple of weeks ago with, I believe it was 19 skill players showed up. And that's pretty unheard of. When you scroll through social media and you try to keep up with what these teams are doing and what players are doing in their offseason, they might congregate in small numbers, but you don't usually see a group that big all on the same team coming together. And they ran it like a scripted practice. And Josh said he thinks he probably threw the ball about as well as he's ever thrown it. And I think that's a positive sign, you know, for Stephon Diggs to see that work ethic, for Josh Allen to see Diggs work ethic, start to build that trust and build that chemistry together. There's just so much riding on that relationship to thrive. Like that relationship needs to thrive in 2020. Brandon Bean emptied a lot of assets into that basket, and so this was, I think, a pretty good start.
And Gino, I know you want to jump in.
As far as that relationship goes,
Marcel, I want to talk a little bit about those Florida workouts, because to me, you know, that should be a kind of a standard of performance, a reasonable expectation to see a quarterback working with his teammates in the offseason in their free time. Are we making a bigger deal out of that than we should, or were these Josh Allen workouts really that important for the upcoming season for the Buffalo Bills?
I think we probably are making a bigger deal out of it than it would be in an ordinary offseason, because it's all we got. You know, there's not been a lot of football news lately, but when you look at the timing of it, if they were to get together in Florida at the end of May, in an ordinary offseason, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, because they already would have had training camp, or mini camp, maybe even OTAs. And, you know, it wouldn't be the first time that we're seeing Diggs and Allen together. So I think, you know, we're blowing it up in part because of what's going on in the world, but it's also, that was their first meeting. And I think that's worth paying attention to.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN, NFL Nation reporter, our guest here. Josh Allen had to earn his teammates' trust when he first came to Buffalo, Marcel, and it wasn't a good start. You'll recall the story of the old tweets surfacing. He was younger at the time. What is your take on the Jake Fromm text conversation, the something he should clearly not have said, and you know, how much, what kind of road is ahead for Jake Fromm in terms of, you know, earning that trust of many of these teammates he's yet to meet face to face?
Well, there's no room for that kind of that language and that mentality. And I've seen people who said, you know, he's just joking, it was a private conversation. I think it's probably about time that we stop even making those jokes. And, you know, even if it was a private conversation, even if it was leaked without his permission, yeah, X, Y, Z, you know, you just, it's hard to give him the benefit of the doubt when you don't know him. And I think that's where a lot of his Bills teammates are coming from, where you've only really met this guy through Zoom calls, the offensive guys trained with him for a few days in Florida, but, you know, they haven't spent years in the locker room with this guy. They haven't shed those blood, sweat, and tears on the field with this guy. That relationship isn't forged yet. And so he really has a long way to go. I think you see, you know, everything we've heard from Josh Allen, from Brian Daboll and Leslie Frazier about how this team's leadership will be able to take Jake Fromm in and kind of help him build his trust back and show him the way to go. That's nice and all, but the entire way you've got guys like Shaq Lawson, who I know is not with the team anymore, but is still friends with players on the team. Shaq Lawson speaking out against what he sees as a phony apology. Tre'Davious White retweeting a lot of things that would suggest he has not accepted Jake Fromm's apology in any way, shape, or form. So you look at it and it's like, well, you've got a decent bit of work ahead of you, man, before you can build that trust back in that locker room. And it's just, this is a very bad time, I think, for that kind of tweet, that kind of situation to get out. Not that there's ever a good time, but especially now when it seems like the country is just hyper aware of these situations, it's really not a good look. But he does have a blueprint in front of him in Josh Allen, more or less. Obviously, Josh's racist, offensive, whatever tweets came out right before the draft, he did have to earn that trust back in the locker room. But he was able to get in that locker room from, we'll call it, May and through the summer. And so guys saw him, and there was repetitions of seeing Josh's character over and over and over again before he got to the point where I think the team, they trust him pretty completely here. There is also a matter of Josh was a teenager when those things came out. He was in high school, I believe. These Jake Fromm texts, that was last year. And so he doesn't get the I was young and dumb excuse, but it sounds like by all accounts he's owned up to it, and that's kind of all you can ask for as far as a start goes. And we'll see what his actions can do from here, because those are going to speak a lot louder than any words.
Marcel, do you think the Buffalo Bills handled that the right way? I mean, there's certainly a case that could be made for just cutting bait with the fifth round draft selection and saying, you know what, it's not worth it. We have a zero tolerance policy on this kind of talk.
I mean, they could have done it. And obviously social media was clamoring for that. But I think that, I think they believe in second chances. I think they believe in giving the kid a chance to, there I go, it's not a kid, giving this guy a chance to redeem himself and to kind of prove that he's more than that. Granted, I think he's on a short leash. I think he can't afford to mess up from here. I don't think he can afford to mail in a practice. He can't afford to mail in a film session. They're going to see what they can get out of him, because, and then ultimately, if it doesn't work out, I don't think he'll be a member of the Bills anymore. I think that it's a low risk from their standpoint. Might have got a little bad PR at the time, but I think ultimately keeping him and just seeing if he is more than that, because they don't really know him that well either. So seeing if he is more than these texts that got out is a pretty low risk move for the franchise. And, if we're about forgiveness on both sides, I want to give him a chance. I'd want to give him a chance to see, what if you say that you're not about that, I need you to prove it to me. Yeah. I need you to show me. And if he can't do that, then, like I said, I don't think he'll be a member of the Bills.
Marcel, in the last week, how surprised are you surprised at all that the most prominent Buffalo Bill that is speaking out on this has been Josh Norman?
No, I'm not. I think Josh Norman has been about this for years, and it's not surprising to see him use his platform to try to spark some change socially. This isn't really a team that's full of, kind of public personas or it's not full of a team that's going to, it's a roster isn't full of players that are naturally, out there like that. You might see some guys do some charity work under the radar. I'm not saying that they're not good people, obviously. They'll do some charity work here and there locally, but you don't really see a lot of guys, a lot of rah-rah activist guys. And I don't really think everybody has to be. I think that's part of the reason why they brought Josh Norman in to begin with, is because he is a loud voice in the room. And because of things like, because he can do things like we're seeing out of him right now, and with the six-city tour. So no, it's not a surprise. I wouldn't say it's a disappointment. I think that they're just kind of, they're keeping to themselves. At some point though, if and when players do return to Buffalo, I would expect to see, you know, some works in the community, some guys, you know, reach out into the city and try to initiate some reform socially and systemically. So, I think we just got to wait and see, give them time to gather their thoughts, to gather a plan together and actually get to town before we start seeing more players speak out.
Marcel, I wanted to talk about continuity going into this season, because I felt like it would be an advantage for the Bills before all of this, before the pandemic was a thing, even more so now. And I know this is a topic that you guys have been discussing on the site as well. Explain how it's actually Buffalo who leads the league all of a sudden in continuity, Marcel.
Yeah, would you look at that, huh? It's starting on offense, I believe it was 92% or 95% of snaps returning. When you look at the guys who made the most contributions on offense last year, they are all coming back except for Frank Gore. And, I said, they got 10 starters returning. In reality, they've got 11 starters coming back, but one of those starters is just not going to be starting in 2020, obviously, with Stephon Diggs coming to town. Then defensively as well, I think, you know, they found their groove a couple years ago. They found their core. They added some complementary pieces to it. And now you're looking at, you know, one of the deepest and, you know, most just structurally sound defenses in the NFL right now. Another 10 starters back, technically, with Lorenzo Alexander's retirement and Levi Wallace coming back, Taron Johnson. It kind of depends on the day or on the formation when you're considering how many starters are back. But either way, they can field at least 10 guys who played meaningful snaps in 2019. And that's going to go a long way in an offseason where, like we've been saying, these guys aren't – they're not in the building. They're not practicing. They're not building chemistry. So, you know, when you get teams like Miami, who spent a lot of money, brought a lot of talent in, but that talent hasn't been able to be around each other. You know, you kind of look at it, you look at the team schedule a little sideways and ask yourself, how long is it going to take this team to gel on the fly? But in Buffalo, they've already built that chemistry over the past few years. It's a pretty low risk situation for a team that's really looking to contend in 2020.
Saw one of our listeners, Adam, writing in a question, because you would think offensive line continuity would be there, but should we expect some competition? Here's Adam. What is the offensive line shaping up like watching games this spring? It seemed like to be a weaker universe. Many plays in the middle got blown up right off the bat. Marcel, what kind of competition should we expect in camp on the offensive line?
I mean, I think the biggest name to look at there is Darrell Williams coming from Carolina. He was a second team all pro a couple years back before a knee injury knocked him out and really kind of set him back for about two seasons. But if he can return to form, then there's going to be a pretty short leash for guys like Cody Ford or Ty Nsekhe, maybe even Quentin Spain. Like, there's a lot of guys that offer position flexibility as well. They can mix and match. They can patchwork this offensive line together if need be. If one guy goes down, it's not a, you know, it's not a complete disaster. But I think, once again, continuity and being used to each other, being used to playing alongside each other, being used to playing for a scrambling quarterback like Josh Allen, that takes time to get used to when you're used to protecting from the pocket. So, I would expect an improved unit in 2020. I would expect the same five starters last year to begin the season as the starting five in 2020. But like I said, there's not going to be a long leash for poor play given the talent or given the depth that Brandon Bean has added in the offseason.
Marcel, it's great to hear your voice, and you're always gracious with your time to join us here in the sports bar. I know I speak for Gino when I say we were really looking forward to seeing your face at St. John Fisher for Buffalo Bills training camp. Sadly, that's not going to be a reality. And Gino, I know you wanted to know a little bit more about that as well.
Marcel, I know that it is the safe thing to do. It is the correct thing to do, but still, nonetheless, it is disappointing, right, for all the fans here in Rochester. I think a lot of people are wondering, what is the future of training camp for the Buffalo Bills? Is this the last time we'd actually see the Bills here at Fisher? Was it last year? What are the chances that we'll see the Bills back at Fisher next year?
Especially since this year was kind of ripped from them, I definitely expect them to be back next year, and I think it's something that Sean McDermott really appreciates. I think it's something that he believes builds, team chemistry, being able to kind of go through that unique experience together, and especially if he keeps winning, if he thinks that being at St. John Fisher is vital to team success, I can't imagine that they don't return. I think fans really enjoy it. I think it's unique in the league and that so many teams just do it from their home facility. I think being able to incorporate fans into the experience is just something that builds a sense of community between the Bills and, Western New York. So I'd expect that they come back. Obviously, One Bills Drive, it's a fantastic facility. I don't think that they're any worse for the wear by having training camp there this season. But I wouldn't count out St. John Fisher quite yet.
Marcel, before we let you go, I just want to get a quick vibe check on you to see how you're doing through everything. I mean, this has affected us all, the pandemic and everything that's been going on in the world has affected everybody in its own unique way. There hasn't been a lot of sports action to talk about, but plenty to report on, and I know you've been doing a lot of that. What do you got coming up here later this summer that we can look forward to at ESPN.com, and how are you holding up?
Yeah, I'm trying to dive into the rookie class and the new additions to the Bills roster. It's obviously a little tricky without the access that we usually get, but myself, my colleagues, we are we're adjusting, we're rolling with the punches, and we're trying to adapt, we're trying to acclimate, and it's been tricky. I'm blessed in that this is a job that I can do remotely. This is a job that I felt pretty secure in, even as so many people were losing theirs. It really made me appreciate what I've been blessed with. So I'm good in that perspective. Family is healthy. I'm healthy. So kind of trying to count the little things here and not focus on the macro. Obviously, it's a bummer. You'd like to be able, especially as the weather starts changing out here, you'd love to be able to go out and to socialize and all this, but it's bigger than that. And the bars, the parks, they're not going anywhere. They'll be here once it's safe to go outside, and been trying to really focus on that. But it's we're all going through it together, and I think that helps, just knowing that it's a pretty similar scenario for most, if not all, of this planet. But hopefully everybody out there, hopefully Mike, Gene, y'all are staying safe, y'all are doing well. Everybody listening to this, hope that you're doing well. I think internet has been a little toxic lately, because that's all we got. So hopefully we can all get outside soon and put the phones down and get to agreeing and coexisting once again.
You know what, Marcel, well said, and man, it's great hearing your voice. I'm so glad you were able to give us a few minutes of your time this afternoon to talk about Buffalo Bills and to talk about life, because, man, that's the hope that everybody has, that someday soon we can get to a place where we're enjoying it a little bit more than we are right now, and the sacrifices that we are making right now hopefully pay off in the long run. Marcel, we look forward to reading more of your work at ESPN.com, and look forward to a Buffalo Bills season. Let's talk again before it gets underway, all right?
Absolutely. Thank you all for having me. It was good to hear your voices as well, and good to pretend like things, act like things are normal for you know, 30 minutes or so.
You got it. Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com, Buffalo Bills beat reporter. Joining us in the sports bar after hours, Danger and Battaglia. We appreciate you checking us out, downloading, rating, subscribing wherever you listen to podcasts, the radio.com app, and here on ESPNRochester.com. Have a great weekend.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.